Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Do you like comedy podcasts?
No.
I do, and that's why I have one, with you.
Oh, good.
I'm Dave Ross.
I'm Hampton Yun.
And we host Suicide Buddies on Starburns Audio.
That's right. It's a mental health podcast. It's about depression. It's about suicide. It's also about history, and it's also about...
having fun.
Dave and I having a blast.
Yeah, we talk about suicidal thoughts in us and other people because we've dealt with that stuff. So we joke around about it, try to bring some light to the subject.
Yeah, who are we talking about this week?
This week we're talking about Jean Weber, a French serial killer who committed suicide in 1910.
Oh, whoa, 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 whoa.
Serial and killers. I like both.
Oh, no.
No.
You're going to hate this episode, then.
Listen to Suicide Buddies on Starburns Audio. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts. Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, wherever.
My butt.
I love you.
Bye.
Hey, everybody. I'm Kyle Ayers. I'm the host of Never Seen It, where I have people rewrite famous movies and television shows they've never seen. We have a very special episode coming up. Lawrence of Arabia was rewritten by Dan Harmon.
Yeah, that's a real burn burner.
So please check it out wherever you listen to podcasts.
Cities, so tired of faking it, Jeff.
Yeah.
Oh, Austin, I love it because we're in Texas. Safe to say it because they won't hear us anymore. Fuck those people. Like just I felt like I was doing mental sit-ups, you know, like pretending to be happy in all those cities when Chicago is the only reason we came out.
Yeah, up yours, New York.
who wants to perform in New York? It's dumb.
Nobody.
Especially Brooklyn. What an unhip borough. Anyways. Jeff, improv was invented here.
Is that true?
Yeah.
How many people in the crowd are improvisers or have improvised?
Well, get out your notepads. Because historically, for the very first time, tonight's Harmontown will be 100% pulled out of my ass. I am tired. I'm tired of the countless rehearsals. I'm tired of the effort. I'm tired of going over this shit with people.
I am a bit of a taskmaster. At 8 a.m. every day, Dan and I get up and I make him rehearse and rehearse the show. Work on your raps.
Yeah, 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 I know. It's not. How many times do I have to tell you? Not pussy rhymes with pussy, Dan. You just say it.
We found out last night that pussy can possibly rhyme with Gary Busey.
Yes.
If you sell it.
Someone in Bloomington, Indiana, like, called out. Like, I was like, I said for the third time, because I, you know, of course you're rapping about fucking people's mamas, as I want to do. You end up talking about her pussy. If you make the mistake, Chicago, you know what I'm talking about. First level workshops, this is taught in. If you make the mistake of ending with pussy in your first line, where are you going to go? And I was lamenting that on stage, and someone in Bloomington, Indiana called out, Gary Busey. And I ended the show, and I took him in the green room, and I said, I don't know what the fuck you're trying to pull, but if you ever want me or Rob Schneider to ever come here again, you take your fucking snotty little Midwestern bullshit back to the Midwest. I'm going to Chicago, which is also in the Midwest, but it's like a New York-y kind of city where they invented improv. And if I want to hear what rhymes with pussy, I'll find out at Second City. You little piece of shit. You little fuck. Todd Jacobson, age 19, whose address is 4328. I'm reading this off of a piece of paper. You in podcast land. Wilshire Boulevard.
Wait.
There's a Wilshire Boulevard. It doesn't matter. Let's stop. Let's start over. so Chicago invented improv. So we're going to make up the whole show tonight. They invented wind. So, you know, that doesn't really have any effect on us. We're indoors. The typewriter was invented here. George Washington died here. Illinois, the 50th state to leave the Union in the pre-Civil War. There was a lot of people don't know this. I'm sure Chicago knows because they were here. There was a pre-Civil War where the North and the North-South fought to see who would attack the South first. Did you know that?
I knew that.
Yeah. A lot of these assholes didn't know. Obviously, they're staring at me like I'm some kind of fat idiot who got fired from his own show. Came to Chicago to try to get people to make him sign stuff so he could feel better.
I haven't asked this, Dan. You got two new shows that you're in the works.
No, I don't.
Well, you have a CBS show and a Fox show.
I conned two giant corporations into giving me a great deal of money. And
they love corporations.
I wanted Bob Greenblatt to know I was employable. I'm sure he really keeps himself up at night going, I hope I can prove him wrong by firing him. And then I wanted him to read in the press that I could work for two networks at once.
And let's say that.
So I took their money and then I got in a bus and I came out here.
And you've been shirking your responsibilities. You turned in the CBS thing, but you have not turned in the Fox thing, right?
I have not.
When was that due?
December-ish. But, you know, in my defense, like, what I do isn't really a schedulable thing. You don't go up to a plumber and say, unclog my toilet.
Yes, you do. That's exactly what you say to a plumber. Yeah. Because right. There's a leak, and you say, my basement is flooding.
Yeah, but he tells you I'll be there between 10 and 9.
Yeah, and then he comes.
Well, yeah, but he gives you a big, wide thing, and then...
But it's a day.
He does come, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm like a plumber that doesn't come. But I unclog more than a toilet, Jeff. I unclog America's lack of entertainment. And that's worth waiting a couple extra months. Thank you, Chicago. I knew you'd get me.
Now, let's say that both shows, you know, in a magical, perfect universe, your CBS show, your Fox show, both get picked up.
That's not going to happen.
But let's just say...
Okay. Let's join Jeff's weird peppermint world where gumdrops are shoes. What happens there? A deer licks my balls and the salt makes him strong and he gets accepted by his deer friends? I don't even... Why are you saying what you're saying? Sorry, I interrupted
I
you.
I can't believe you're wasting this good stuff and you haven't turned in your Fox script yet. Peppermint shoe balls.
What do you want to know?
I'm saying, in a world where both of your shows get picked up, and now you're forced to be a guy that you can't do both, but let's say that you could. Let's say you were the showrunner and creator of both a CBS multi-camera show and a Fox single-camera show. would you get fired off one or more of them?
Well, my hope, the supposition was that I wouldn't get fired from any of them. Because remember, I also have an Adult Swim show coming in 2014.
So you have three shows.
The hope was that by diversifying my asshole folio, that I would now create a situation. Because at the risk of sounding defensive and self-aggrandizing and possibly psychotic, a little Mansonian and perhaps a little Koreshian and with just a pinch of Busey, I think, as far as I can tell in my crazy brain, the reason I keep getting fired is because I have too much time to focus on the job, and I keep, you know, going like, yeah, but what if it could be a really, really, really good show? And then after a while, it gets very annoying to people around me, you know, like.
So you're saying by scattering your focus,
yeah,
this
so
much.
So here was my fantasy, okay, in your gumdrop world. I wake up, okay, it's Monday, it's 9 a.m. I wake up. All right, so I'm going to take the mic out so I can move around. It's give the space work. Space work,
yes,
right?
Watch this, Improv Olympic students.
It's 9 a.m. What time did I get to bed last night on this clock that I'm holding up? Got home at 3 and made love to my girlfriend, who I'm able to maintain a relationship with while running three shows because I'm able to get an erection because none of these three networks are run by a Bob Greenblatt. So my dick gets hard, mysteriously, out of nowhere. I'll just be sitting around and my dick will get hard and I have blood is allowed to go into the little valves. Time to go to work in my giant car with a cow catcher on the front. I don't know what. It's got diamonds on the thing and the. You're now entering your car. It's 2014. You have three new messages in your car. Sorry. I'm programmed to make you feel better about yourself by stumbling over words. That'll do, amazing AI car. Let's hear those three messages while I drive to the first job. First, new message sent today at 8:30 a.m. Hey, Dan, it's your masseuse. Just wanted to let you know, man. Dude, it was so relaxing massaging you. Sent 8:47 a.m. Oh, no. Not going to worry about it. Got a cow catcher. 8:47 a.m. Hey, Dan, it's CBS is calling you to let you know. Great job. Great job with the script. Great idea with the dog. 8:50. All right, so getting out. Third message is from my girlfriend. She'll understand. Work comes first. All right. Here I am. I'm here at CBS for my first day at work. Oh, God, I felt so bad about hitting that cow that we brought it into the writer's room, and it's working for us now, and actually, we won an Emmy. We just milked it onto a piece of paper and let it dry, and it was amazing. Had to sweeten the laughs a little bit, but, you know, everything needs coaxing. What's going on, Gary Fucknuts? my showrunner, because I'm just the creator. I just fucking hang out, and I'm creative.
Amazing. Got a great idea for a pitch. What if Douglas decides to change the way he dresses for an episode? And he wants to go basketball, but he's allergic to shrimp, so he ends up dressing totally different. And then we'll talk about...
Thought balloon over my head. That sounds like a really shitty idea. I'd kill myself before I watched that. Second thought balloon over my head. You keep getting fired. Stop it. Stop it. Gary, you're promoted. I'm going to take a quick nap in my office.
Hey, thank you gives me a great idea for an episode. Hey, what if his voice trails off? What if so-and-so took a nap in his office? Open the window in my office, climb out. Natalie, AI car, pulling up to your predetermined escape route. Take me to Fox, Natalie. Hey, play that third message. I heard play turd massage. God damn it, this fucking technology. That's the most stressful thing that'll happen to me all day.
Right.
Play the third message. Hey, it's Aaron McGathy. I published another random collection of your babblings, and it made $1 million. Oh, great. Well, hey, get yourself a dildo. Now arriving at Fox Studios. Hey. Whoa, did you hear the news? Golden Globe. Yay. Yeah. Dude, I was just over at my CBS job. Those fucking assholes, they think they're making a good TV show just because 8 times as many people watch it. We're making art over here, right? Because only 17 million people are watching. So what do you got? Well, we had this idea that Spoogless would want to dress differently. But then he'd dressing differently. And because he's allergic to squid, that then he would say, but then he'd stop, because I remember that Abed character, and he would look at the camera, and he'd go, what am I doing? What am I, Douglas from CBS? You're amazing. That's great. It's a little meta. It's still Fox. It's got an edge. I like it. I'm going to go in my office and take a nap. Hey, you gave me a great idea. What if he said he was taking a nap, but he knew he was taking a nap? Shh, Bessie, just go in there and punch up the script. Natalie, bring the cowcatcher mobile around. Take me to Adult Swim. Wait, stop on 3rd and Dope Dealer Street. Hey, Mike. Hey, Mr. Harmon. Whoa, Mike, what race are you? I'm an Eskimo, Mr. Harmon. Just checking and clarifying. You sounded a little sky cappy there. Now make with the drugs and the blubber. Thank you. Because I'm going to Adult Swim where 30 people are going to watch. But it's all about fucking excitement. Hey, everybody. Hey, it's me, your friends. Whoa, we're all your friends. Ah, we don't know what the fuck we're doing, but we're your friends. Woo, woo, woo. What do you got for me? We don't have shit. We don't know what to do when you're not here. We're your friends. What the fuck's happening? We just got high the whole time. You were gone. We're really freaking out. Hey, guys, take it easy. What if we did an episode about people freaking out, drawing a circle on the board? Look where we are. We're freaking out. The cosmic threshold, goddess, tone with fire. Holy shit, you fucking genius. Please give me a job every time. Holy shit, I can't believe it. I'm so fucking high. I'm freaking out. It's fucking great, man. Fade in on freaking out. Hey, you got a phone call from the president of Adult Swim. Hey, Lazo, how's it going? Hey, man, I just want to let you know I'm so fucking high. I love this fucking show, man. I love everything on Adult Swim. I don't give a shit. Nobody's watching. I don't give a fuck. I'm high. I got a fucking pickle in my ear. I got an antenna on my head. I'm in Atlanta. I don't have any political reason to fuck around with anybody. I'm just having a great life and fucking living my dreams. And it's fucking great. Television's for fun. Hey, you were on speakerphone the whole time. We were rubbing our dicks on the phone. I love that. We didn't mean to do it. We weren't doing it out of disrespect. We just love rubbing our dicks and stuff. We're so high. All right, guys. Whoa, what time is it? 3 p.m.? I better go home. That was my fantasy. So here was the reality, really. It was a... Hey, can I have a bazillion dollars to write a show? Yeah, we're really excited because we really respect you here at Fox. And we really respect you here at CBS, too. Well, slow down, Fox at CBS. I can only write one show for one network, right? I guess I should go with Fox because I'll probably fuck up more at CBS because, you know, tastes are so different. All right, Fox. I'll take a bunch of money from you. All right, CBS. Okay. Sorry, I said yes to Fox. Yeah, but you can write one for us, too. I can? Jesus Christ, that's really going to piss Bob Greenblatt off, I think, in my weird, dumb mind, like he ever thinks about me. Okay, thank you. Thank you for all the money, guys. When are you going to be done with the script? Dude, I'm so fast and fucking crazy. It only took me a week to write a Community episode because it had to be done in a week and I had 20 people helping me. As far as I can remember, I'm a really fast writer. I can't remember past 2.5 years because I'm always high. I'm a really fast writer. Okay, I'll give you guys a script. I'll have to be done before Christmas because after Christmas I only have a week to prepare for going on a tour where I go and masturbate to audiences and do shit like this that inevitably gets me fired because when they hear it they're going to be mad because it sounds disrespectful. Okay, all right, but it won't matter because I'll have turned in these great scripts, so who cares? okay, bye. Bon voyage. We love you. Woo! let's see. Just unbutton my pants. Put on the internet. 30 days later, almost finished. Oh, still coming. No, oh, I didn't know I was into that. Oh, it burns. Oh, the creative process. It chafes and it burns. I had to come up with new ways to get hard. Oh, every drop. All right, 12 hours left. Let's start on that CBS thing. Time to go to Europe. Oops. Okay, well. Hey, it's CBS. Hey, man. Fucking genius. You're amazing. We love you. We're very supportive of you. We're good people. We make good television. Just want to check in with you. Guys, it's almost done. What the fuck? Like,
CBS, Dan just made a jerk-off motion, if you're listening on the podcast. He went, stuck his tongue out and made a jerk-off thing. And
bit of a snag. I'll have to write it on the plane. Fuck it. You know, altitude gets me high. What the? Also gets me horny. I'm gonna go in the bathroom of the airplane. 12 hours later. Oh, international flight. I can't come anymore. Oh, I'm coming so hard. Now landing in London. Hey, good night, mate.
That's where the flight took so long.
Yeah.
You got rerouted to Brisbane.
Go back. You got 28 hours to write your screenplay now. You landed in Brisbane. Okay. Oh, I'm jerking off tomorrow. I didn't know Matthew McConaughey was in this many movies. I'm going to watch all of them. Now arriving in London. Oh, cheerio. Dan, it's Christmas time. We agreed to spend this time in Christmas at Christmas and with Rob and Kate. We were gonna go eat Christmas dinner in London. Do you understand what it's like to be a genius? Do you understand how fucking creative I am? Why can't you be a better girlfriend? What the fuck? You think I wanted to be behind deadline? Merry Christmas to me. Go have fun. Go eat your figgy pudding. I'm going to be here trying to write this script. Okay, all right, fine. We'll try to make our own fun in London. Jesus Christ, it's going to fucking fade in on me jerking off. They have the internet in London, too. It's just clear what's coming out. It's not even... I had to use a coat hanger. I don't know what it means either. You guys reacted like you do know what it means. There must be a way to jerk off with a coat hanger.
I don't know. Did you get yourself pregnant and had a weird...
I don't know. But there was a Chicago reaction of it.
I think it just might be avulsion, or revulsion rather. Or gross.
Yeah, I could have said fire hydrant. Maybe they would have reacted that way. I think they would have gone, huh? I said coat hanger and they were like, whoa, not the number 52. Chicago style, whoa! Deep dish, jerking off with a coat hanger. It's the secrets in the water. We ship it in from New York. All right, so yeah, whatever. You just react for the sake of it. It doesn't matter. So skip the Christmas vacation. I ruin Christmas because I'm like, I would have loved to have not taken work. I got two scripts to write. Get back home. I'll just finish them up right before we go on this tour. Okay, we're going on tour. All right, I'll write the scripts on the tour. I'm being filmed. Oh, it's a movie. Am I making a movie? Yeah. Hey, what's it like to be so smart? I don't know. Yeah, I'm producing the movie. Am I being smart? Yeah, I'm paying for the whole thing.
Here you go, CBS. I did it. I did it. I did it. I wrote a script. Okay, we have a couple notes. Yeah, that should be easy. I can knock that out in a day. Do you promise? What do you mean? Of course. It'll be done in a day. 6 days later. Yeah! Okay, there
wait,
you
wait,
go.
We're on the tour bus most of the time. Is that what's going on when you close a little bunk curtain?
At this point, it's become a figurative... Like, okay, I haven't... All right. The irony is that the masturbation only began when the physical masturbating stopped.
Okay.
When you're in a giant phallic bus containing you and a camera crew asking you questions about yourself, you really don't need your dick to be involved anymore. Right? You'll go blind.
The whole world
faster.
Is your pussy right now. Yeah.
So CBS script gets finished. Fox One is not. There's a point where Fox says, "Listen, really, it has to be done." Well, okay, can I have two more days? Well. In 1.5 days, like, they're going to start making a lot of their decisions.
Right.
It's a practical answer. Okay, so I'll try to get to you 1.5 days. Yeah, because really, at that point, you're kind of, you know, we'll have to, you know, take it a slower path, meaning that, you know, all these other scripts are going to get picked up, and you'll be kind of behind the flock. Okay, all right, good. So 1.5 days later, I'm like, fuck it, it's not finished. So party time, like, because I missed
when
the deadline.
When was this, a couple days ago?
Yeah, it was like... Saturday afternoon was the day that I kind of like, you know, it would, if I had a shot, I would have like turned something into them. And so then I didn't. So then I was like, okay, the upside of that is that let's stop burdening the tour with. And so I was just like, oh, let's have a glass of Kettle One and let's do some of these shows like unburdened. Then today I was at a bar here in Chicago and I got an email from Fox. It was like, script? And I was like, I can't really. I don't have any right to be outraged by any of this.
So it's like this whole thing reminds me of being in college. I'm a procrastinator, and I'm always behind schedule on everything. But your professor is Fox. Like that's, and it's not getting an A or an F.
I think it's just being 8 years old and like not cleaning your room, which is festooned with your own shitty diapers, which you shouldn't be shitting in anymore because you're 8. And, like, you smearing them all over your own walls, and then your parents coming in and going, smells like shit, you might have a better time in your life if you stopped, like shitting everywhere and raping it out, and you sucking your thumb and going, it hurts when you say that!
But we're podcasting this show every night. Presumably, somebody at each of those networks is listening to all of this, right?
Yeah, I know, but that's more shit on the wall. That's self-destruction. It's like,
right.
Something's gonna
go. So you could... get fired before these shows ever get picked up.
That could set a new record, yes, is what you're saying. Yes. I have to be the Chuck Yeager of something, Jeff. It's not going to be quality television. It's going to have to be, like I have to, like... My hope is by the age of 45, I will be able to write backwards and get fired in reverse. Like, I'll actually enter a parallel universe where I'm promoted all the time. Because everything is like I've inverted like some kind of balloon. No, it'll be fine. I'm exaggerating. I think CBS is very happy with their script. It's probably going to be a big hit. I don't care. And I'll edit all this out. I went a little overboard with the honesty tonight. It's a little self-destructive. And nobody.
There's a gal engaging you over here.
This lady works at Fox. Okay. She said she got a message from Eric Acosta, who works on the Adult Swim show, and they need me back immediately.
Is that true? Wait, are you friends with Eric Acosta? Yeah? Did he send you here as his minion?
No.
Okay.
I mean, nobody needs me back there immediately. It's a very fun show to write. Like, the more they feel that way, the funner the show will get.
Someone had a question over here. Yes, sir, a very well-spoken gentleman over here has a all question.
Right. I do have a question.
All right.
I mean, well, number one, I'm kind of a make-a-wish.
You're kind of a make-a-wish?
Well,
that's neither a question nor a statement.
Well, but it does sound like Entertainment Dynamite.
Get on over here.
Can you just come up before? Cause... Make a wish implies that he's dying. It's gonna get pretty grim up here. I already brought you down talking about my career. Prepare to shed a tear. Prepare? Alright.
This is not good.
Alright.
I have a make a wish, but it's just because I want you to make me a drink.
Oh.
That's one.
All right.
I have two drinks.
Because you're dying of thirst. I would play that up. He's dying of thirst, you guys.
I honestly, I came here and I was just like, I mean, I have.
Go on.
I have a situation called alcoholism.
All right.
Me too. And I was just really hoping that Dan Harmon would make me a drink.
That's not the cure for alcoholism.
He doesn't Correct. Know that. It's part of the affliction is you don't know that.
I have a different question besides that.
Okay.
And I don't know if this will... I don't want to get deep or whatever, but friends. Okay, here's my question. Friends.
How can you make friends with the audience?
No.
Reveal you have leukemia and ask for world peace. That is how.
Not that at all. My question was... Because obviously, I mean, you portray yourself as an asshole. Right. And I think of myself as an asshole. Like, I am shitty to people. Like, left and right. And
it's true.
Now, and you portray yourself as that. And whatever. But so, how have you been able to surround yourself with people that are actually talented? Like Rob Schraub is a smart man.
Right.
And then you got all the Channel 101 crowd. And
right.
They're all, I mean, you've got a lot of good people in your situation.
So you're asking Dan what makes him less of an asshole
what?
Than
no,
you?
No, no. Not quite. Close. Very close. More like why are you able to have talented people around you.
Right.
And I mean, yeah.
Are you saying, getting your question?
Come on, you know.
You
guys are the worst.
If I'm getting your question right, what you're asking is, you watch what I do, and you say to yourself, well, I've got the I'm an asshole part down. And you want to know where the success comes in.
What am I not doing right?
I'm tapping my nose like charade.
I mean, my answer is going to sound self-aggrandizing. I'm going to say I have good taste in people, or
no,
I'm going to say...
No, how about when you were young? Because I've seen you, like, at... I went to Wisconsin, so I've seen your brother's ad, even, like, when you did the brother's subs bullshit.
Right, cousin but, subs, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, cousin. Right.
No, it's fine.
Yeah, exactly. No, he was a young, pimply dude. But, right. Yeah, so... But for some reason, you were able to surround yourself with talented people.
Right.
So.
Well, how does that explain this moment right now? I obviously don't have, like, untalent repellent.
I'm just saying. I'm not just saying. So, you're a talented person and also awful.
Right.
I mean, by your own admission. So you've been able to find a community.
The answer, my friend...
Is a rap battle!
Is a rap battle!
Is a rap battle!
Breakdown, Chicago style. I'm rapping weak, I'm rapping wild. Got my man, I can't remember his name, on the stage. Yo, rage! Doesn't matter what I do. Bars set so low, I could... Fuck a shoe. Gonna rap a while. Gonna hand him the mic and hear his rapping style.
Go, Ryan. Go,
hey.
Ryan.
So, I just wanted to ask you about your mean of operation. And then I thought that I just want to give you a little bit of fashion with my dick. Because apparently that's how it goes. And that might be... I woke up this morning, thought I'd get some food, and then I thought, what might be kind of good, dude? I thought I might go on home.
Yeah.
And
Ryan,
just ruined the room.
Ryan, your question was what?
It's that. I
just ruined everything.
No, you didn't. For yourself alone, really. There is no. I mean, you don't. They're not. They're
you're really good at that.
They're
by the
they're
way.
They're booing you because that's part of the story.
Where did you get?
You're not the hero. You're not the hero. They're cheering you by
you
booing.
I'm
you
the
boo
goddess?
Darth Vader.
Am I the goddess?
Like, Darth Vader owns it. Darth Vader goes, yes, keep booing. He doesn't go like,
Ryan,
well, what? I didn't close someone's throat shut with the Force. I don't. How do you, on Tatooine, what's your secret with the, how do you, he goes fucking, duh, duh, I'm evil. I want to suck the fucking life out of your show and your universe. I want control. I want power. I have a fucking face shaped like a skull with a Nazi helmet on it. That makes him a hero to his own people, at least.
I'm gonna curl into a ball with Jeff right now. Like, I can't find it. Like, this is the only comfort I find.
You're doing it wrong. Ryan, everybody, thank you for Ryan. Ryan, fuck it.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode of Harmontown is brought to you by Fulton and Rourke. Jeff, you're sick of spilling all your colognes all over the place. You hate liquid colognes, is that correct?
It's my nemesis. It's the thing that gives me nightmare dreams all night long.
I can't remember how many times I've walked in on you just covered in sticky, wet cologne.
I have traveled and broken a bottle of the cologne that I wear, and then my luggage smells like a French whorehouse for the rest of time.
Yeah. But Fulton and Rourke is a men's fragrance and grooming company that specializes in solid colognes, shave, and shower products, all designed to make getting ready easier and more enjoyable.
Now, when you say solid colognes, do you mean like solid in the jazz sense? Like, wow, that jazz solo was solid.
You know, I do mean that, but I also mean physically solid as well.
Oh, like a little... Like, you're talking about a wax-based cologne that travels in a little small package that I can't spill all over my luggage and smell like a Mexican tit house. So these are travel-friendly, wax-based colognes that can go anywhere?
Plus, there's nothing to break or spill, and of course, they all smell fantastic.
Fantastic.
Like a Mexican tit house.
I mean, there's different levels of Mexican tit house. I mean, there's the high-quality ones, there's the ones that you wish you didn't go to.
Right.
Yeah.
Titas Fantasticos.
Is one of their fragrances called Mexican tit house?
Yeah.
Que fantástico.
Fulton & Rourke's bar soap is designed to exfoliate the skin with or without a washcloth.
Also, you don't even have to touch it. It comes and does it in the night.
Well, that's amazing. That's literally unbelievable.
Did you know, Spencer, that GQ magazine just named their shave cream the very best on the market today?
Well, yeah, of course I knew that. Why would you ask?
I mean, who am I asking? I mean, this guy, you go to his house... It's like an episode of Hoarders. So many back issues of GQ magazine there.
Right. And I got to tell you, my house is made out of bricks of cologne.
Wax-based cologne, I hope.
Yeah, yeah.
Try it yourself at FultonandRourke.com and save 15% off your purchase by using the code FERAL, F-E-R-A-L, at checkout.
That's FERAL at checkout.
Smell good for once, you fucking bums.
Fulton and Rourke, get your smelling good.
Fulton and Rourke, time to get your stink on.
Off.
Get your bad stink off and get your good stink on.
Fulton and Rourke.
Not by Menon. Different corporation.
By Fulton and Rourke.
Here, Brian.
Yeah. Really?
Well, because are you thinking what I'm thinking? Like,
what?
Okay, all right.
Yeah. Yeah. Discretion .. Valor.
I was just thinking like, if you just into the spin, you know, like when you're driving on the ice.
Where did you get the little Dorothy Parker hat you had on there for a while?
The Eric Acosta messenger.
Oh wow.
Had a little Dorothy Parker hat, which doubled as a Kango when the shit hit the fan. All right, so enough about my career.
Let's bring Spencer up right now, everybody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Chicago, right?
Yeah. He is the dungeon master. We should have brought him up moments ago. Yeah, they love you, Spencer. We love you. God.
Thanks, guys.
Spencer, I see you're wearing pants. He boasted he could wear shorts all day today and not be bothered.
I got nothing but tweets from people saying, wear pants, bundle up, you're a pussy. Like, I'm just like over it.
Well, people take their weather seriously.
I don't take your guys' weather seriously. I could be rocking shorts.
But they're concerned about your own well-being. People care about your health now, Spencer.
Well, fuck them.
Well, wow.
No, thanks. I appreciate your concern.
Spencer, I understand that you had your first deep dish pizza today. I said Spencer did.
Yeah. I also took my first shit in Chicago. No, your pizza's good. Your pizza's good. I like you guys and your pizza. So flattered.
they rolled out the red carpet for us here. This is the warmest audience I've ever.
It's amazing. What a cool room.
In front of. Yeah, I think the.
It's like being in the actual Second City main stage, but without all the political shame.
Speaking of which, I met somebody outside before the show that I wanted to roll the dice on, so to speak, like bringing up. I wanted the audience to meet him and see if he provides as much joy for them as he as I was very entertained by this this guy. Is it Ben? Ben, are you here?
Over here. He's over here.
Oh, there you are. Okay. Are you willing to come up? Can you come up? Ben.
This one on. Check. Okay. Here, you take that one. You don't have to. You do however you want. I want you to do your thing.
Thank you.
I wanted to talk to you.
I feel like marionette strings have been attached, and now the monkey has to dance.
No. Don't think
no,
that
no,
way
no,
at
no.
all.
No, being exploited is fine. It's cool.
Okay.
It's good. Yeah. It's de rigueur. It's what people do now. That's how the world works.
Yeah. How old are you?
16.
Okay, and your parents are here, and they're cool with me talking about my nuts and my butts.
Yeah. They're good.
All right. And you're aspiring a filmmaker.
Oh,
not to turn the crowd against you.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So the marionette strings have been attached.
But really it was your I don't know how to not put you on the spot, but I just wanted to talk to you a little bit because you were very flattering before the show, and I also thought the audience might be a little charmed with you, but now they're going to feel compelled to. But then again, your lead-in couldn't have been better. you're safe and secure here.
Okay.
It's not. You could lift up your shirt and Hitler's face could be tattooed on you and start speaking and he would still kill. But I just want to, because I don't know. I'm not a good interviewer.
No,
Ben.
That's okay. I can babble.
Okay,
that's totally fine.
All right. Just.
And like building upon the babbling, you know, it's weird that when I started, you know, watching Community and started, it's a culture of obsession, and I like being and just speaking generally. I think I like the whole geek concept bothers me because I think it's more important to like things than to like the concept of liking things. So that's why there's like this fetishization that's occurred, you know, where it's like, I don't like, you know, I'm not passionate about filmmaking. I'm not passionate about Hitler or, you know, whatever. I just like liking things, you know. And so like on top of that, so that's, you know, I kind of, you sort of groove on that wavelength when I read about you. And so I think that's fascinating, and that's great, and that was like hugely important to me. But like I was reading it, there was like this bizarre sense of empathy building that I don't idolize Dan Harmon. There's like this weird empathy, and I realized, you know, that's not like I'm so flattered thing. Oh, I'm an obnoxious 15-year-old boy. What that means though is that for whatever reason.
Well, you're 15 now?
Oh, sorry, six. Well, my birthday was on January 7th, so there's a time fluctuation.
Are you, is it narcissistic of me to try to figure out where I was 16 years ago? And if I
where would you have been 16 years ago? Or when you were 16?
All right, yeah.
No, exactly. Very much so. I mean, he would have.
Ben's your name?
Yeah.
Is your mama here tonight?
No.
Thank heavens for that. Yeah. Thank heavens.
But like building on top of that, so we have the genital mutilation and the liking genital mutilation, not liking the concept of liking genital mutilation.
Wait. Right? Back it up.
You can generalize it.
Back that thought up.
I'm sorry. It's like I associated filmmaking or whatever with genital mutilation. I don't know why.
Jeff, comp troll him.
It's out of control right now, man.
Well, so am I sometimes.
Okay, Ben,
You met Dan in line today?
I absolutely did, yeah.
And how did you make the leap from what he was doing to genital mutilation? Oh, but he was masturbating so much.
Well, here's the thing, though, that...
Ben?
Yes.
Have you started masturbating?
Absolutely, I have.
You have?
Yeah.
Prove it. We're all going to jail tonight, everybody.
And CBS is going to bail us all out.
Yeah.
Now, be like, now are you sorry? Get back to work.
So you want to introduce a possibility because you're a Joseph Campbell fan, and like that's like the heuristic through which you know you view the world, which is great. So like, here's the thing. In your heuristic, at least the persona's heuristic, you're Django, right? Except you're not black and you're not Jamie Foxx, but you're sort of. It's like that narrative, right? Of freeing yourself, and I am, you know, self-actualizing. But here's the thing. Have you entertained the possibility that you're actually Samuel L. Jackson, and that, or like at a point, someone else is going to become Django?
Have you entertained the possibility that you are me?
No.
That's why I brought you up, and that I am so narcissistic, and that I'm so entertained by
because
I've never met.
I'm sitting stage. You're in the middle of the stage, and I'm sitting stage left. He's stage right. Like it's like perspective is shrinking you.
Yeah. Well.
And sending you back in time.
We just need like a weird to his right. We just need a 6-year-old child going. I mean, I don't mean give me a bottle. I just mean.
But because the world being what it is now, he's a prodigy. You like if you're a chess champion, like he's a chess champion an earlier age than you are.
He's much sexier and he's got his shit more together. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, ladies, come on, Ben.
I have to push him off the Acropolis tonight.
My point is,
he's 16, ladies. He likes to mutilate those genitals.
He's already started masturbating. That means.
Yeah.
It means also, biologically, you can get on the ground floor.
Ben, I hate to tell anybody sexual advice, but you don't have to mutilate yourself to masturbate right. There's lotions right. And whatnot.
I need to text some people. Hold on.
Okay. Oh, dear. His Coke just fell out.
Make a note of that. Oh, that's good. Got it. But my point was, like, the idea is to sort of, because...
Ben, are you carrying a gun right now by any chance?
Well, the easy thing to do is to come up and
See, he's already learned. Sometimes you just blow past Jeff. Yeah.
No, the easy thing to do is to come up and idolize you. And I wanted to insult you first so that the idolizing was felt more personal and more true.
Yeah, but that 35-year-old dude didn't get that. Like, he came up and was like, "Well, I'm gonna gain his respect, but is he gonna blah?"
Well, it's like you know the community is great because it's like you know how to relate to people. And you know, and so you know, you're huge. You provide people like me.
Wait, let me. Can I? All right. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm an.
This is like matter and antimatter.
Yeah. I'm 16, which means that I'm obnoxious and narcissistic. And then I see someone who is publicly obnoxious and narcissistic and also
40.
Kind of ramblingly, you know, so like I am at 15 and I think, hey, filmmaking is really hard to do and really hard to be successful in. But if me with a dashing beard pirate man can do it, maybe I can, you know? And so that's the thought.
Yeah, thank you. That's why I want to, yeah.
That's amazing.
You. I'm leaving town with him.
Ryan, before we do that, Ryan, you're 15, 16. We can't get a straight answer out of you on that. Where do you see yourself at 40 years old, where Dan is right now? Where, if you had your pie in the sky dreams, where would you be at 40? Aim big, like shoot for the moon.
Yeah. Well,
don't be bashful.
Okay, all right.
I know that you're normally a very bashful fellow. But I want you to come out of your shell for once in your life and tell us where you think you, like, if you could have your dream, where would you be at 40 years old?
Well, you know, again, I think Joseph Campbell again. Well, you know, was it Joseph Campbell who said, follow your bliss? So the dream shouldn't be, I want to have all of the money, all of the cars, all of the mamas. The dream.
This is the effect I'm having on with the podcast. This is the new generation coming up.
The dream is that the person
a generation of mama fuckers.
The Harmon youth.
Yeah. you're corrupting the youth. But the you know, the dream is you with the vodka, you seem happy. You seem to have followed the bliss. You know, you
have. Good. That's a good takeaway for a 16-year-old. I'm glad.
You have the vodka. I mean, and you seem it's you seem to be happy and surrounded by people who like what they're doing.
But what do you want, Ben? What do you want for yourself?
Exactly.
You want to be an alcoholic 40-year-old with a beard?
If you're following your bliss, and if this is like, you know, living as close as you can to being happy and feeling like you're, you know, if life is essentially being
I feel like you'd be very good selling newspapers in a corner in the 30s.
Yeah.
Get your little hat.
Wait, I just want you. Just give us a topic, do you think you could talk simultaneously with me? We'll just both address the topic at the same time.
Yes.
Okay.
Fun fact.
So just ignore
Land of Improv,
don't listen to me, and I won't listen to you. But okay. Just talk to them.
Yeah. Lean forward. Just open your mind. Talk straight out. Don't listen to Dan. Dan, don't listen to Ben.
This is like what we've been doing for the past precisely 40 years, and I've been doing this for 16 years. So
all
it's
right.
Like
okay. Wait, what's the?
Do we get a topic?
Yeah, what's the topic?
Narcissism.
All right.
Oh.
Okay.
Yourself.
Narcissism is the word that I use most often.
We live because in a culture of denial.
The myth of narcissism, somebody like looking into a stream at themselves.
The myth was originally turned into a plant by doing it,
which means that you're
helpful. You never close your eyes when you look at me anymore.
Invigorating to the extent that you're honest about it.
How can you not?
If you knew how to be honest about it, you would be able to liberate yourself. Like there's a version of narcissist that doesn't have to be a plant. He could get up and walk around and be narcissist, but not be a plant.
And then this is the
beat stopped.
It got really sad and existential. Like it got like, you know.
Ben and Dan, everybody. Ben and Dan.
Thank you, Ben.
Ben, that was magnificent.
Thank you, Ben. Of course you can ask me a question after the show. Can I ask you a question after everything I do so that I can not kill myself? I want to check in with Ben after every decision
Ben,
I make.
Yeah, but we're not done with Ben by any chance.
Yeah. Where are you sitting? Are you
over there by my brother?
Okay, go back there. And his brother's cool too. Don't get too jealous. He's 1 year older and he's getting all the attention, but it's just because next year I'll have you up. His brother wants to be a graphic designer and Ben wants to be a director. You and I, it's Ryan, right? Richard. I knew that. We both know Richard's a cooler name and that graphic designers are more creative than directors. So, like you're an unsung hero. You're gonna have more of an impact than him, but he'll be over there garnering all the attention and then probably autoerotic asphyxiation. autoerotic mutilation.
Wow. I mean,
I think he meant manipulation, genital manipulation.
I don't think he did, Dan.
I think he knows what he means.
I think he knows it. Right. That guy doesn't strike me as somebody who misspeaks. I think we're talking about a mutilated penis.
Was I wrong to bring him up? Was that a bad instinct? I was, if you met him before a show, wouldn't you be like, could you come up and meet a couple friends of mine? I thought you might.
No, yeah, if you're walking down a beach and you run, if you stub your toe on an old-timey lantern, you have to rub it. You have to
mutilate it.
Yeah.
Until there's nothing left. All right, should we put Spencer on the spot? Give him a free. Excuse me, I'm burping.
You okay, Dan?
Give him a little.
You need some Prilosec. You all right?
No, I don't need Prilosec. Everyone since the night we asked for it, people have been bringing Prilosec like just ancient people to some druidic temple. It's a very expensive drug. Prilosec. It's heartburn medicine. I mentioned that I needed some in like Somerville, and then this people are bringing Prilosec like a weird druidic ritual. It's shameful and amazing and cool.
Why do you have such bad heartburn?
I don't know. I have to go in and get it checked out because I was just noticing today. I saw a commercial for it. Larry the Cable Guy is the new spokesman for it. So I was like, I gotta get off this train. And but yeah, also,
that certainly is a signpost.
I never bothered to read the box, but I bothered to read the fine print on the commercial. It had like and it said, don't take it for 14 days. And don't take it for more than 4 months. I've been taking Prilosec for like fucking, I don't know, season 2 of Community. Like I started. So I gotta go to the doctor again. I'm sure it's related to Popeye's spinach here. I'm sure it's not great on your epiglottis. It probably wore down maybe the flap above the bip-bap and then maybe stomach acid gets up more. That's a guess. I'm not a doctor, but. Here's what the doctors did when I went to them. I went to my regular doctor. I said, I have frequent heartburn. He said, how frequent? I said, it's this frequent. He said, okay, you should go to a specialist. I'm like, great. That's what I expected you to say, and that's how it goes. He gave me a referral. I went to this guy, the specialist. I went into the specialist. The specialist said, what do you have? I have heartburn. How frequent do you have it? I have it this frequent. He said, okay, get up on the table, take down your pants. And I was kind of like, I could have said no. But I was saying, he just like kind of took charge and was like get up and table, take down your pants. And I was like, okay. And I took down my pants. He's like, roll over. And he stuck his finger.
Are you sure he was a doctor?
He stuck his finger up my ass and felt around, and said, everything seems fine. No sign of external hemorrhoids. Two things I know aren't true. The only thing that I know, everything's not fine in my butthole. It's my butthole. I'm Dan Harmon. I'm the butthole of people. I know my butthole isn't fine. It's not like a like if you're a butthole expert, you don't. I know that there's. I don't want to. What part of heartburn didn't he understand?
Wait.
How does
your butthole affect heartburn?
I don't know. But after he did it, he gave me a referral to a specialist. And I didn't go, Jeff. And because it's fool me twice. I did the first. Yeah. The first guy did nothing. Yeah. The second guy raped me.
I'm gonna send you to a guy named Ray Ray. And
yeah, who's that guy refer you to? The real doctor sent me to a rape doctor. And I don't mean a doctor that helps rape victims. Obviously, I told you the story. I meant, well, don't groan it. It's not a pun. It's not hee-haw. It's rape. Spencer, you take rape too lightly.
Spencer, I'm going to try to. I know you hate it. We're going to put you on the spot. Spencer has a gift of creating monsters as a dungeon master out of thin air.
Freestyle,
Spencer. Freestyle monster DMing the proctologist.
With a creak, the door opens. Immediately, you feel something's not right. Take off your pants, he says. It's all right, he says. I'm a doctor, he says. But no.
The proctologist. Yeah. Oh, he's good.
Thank you.
Spencer, you're becoming a national treasure. You know that, right?
That's awesome, but
he's become.
Can someone give me a job?
All right, yeah, we haven't asked you this. If you had any job in the world, what would your dream job be?
It's no. Don't tell Apple this, but I'm a PC user.
Nice. Dishonest Apple employee.
Wearing a smile that can only be described as practiced. The blue-shirted employee approaches you, asking if you found everything okay. But behind his eyes, you can tell he doesn't really care. That's all. But, career, I don't know, man.
You should be a writer. I mean, do you ever write anything down? Do you write stuff?
I used to. Like, I can write when I'm prompted and I enjoy it, but, like, unless I'm prompted or have some reason to do it, I just won't do it at all.
Well, it's like Dan Harmon.
Yeah, that's how I get the big bucks, baby.
I guess I'm on the right track.
Yeah, yeah. Spencer, I'm being attacked. I'm on a path, and I'm attacked by a writer's block. What does it sound like?
Thump. A large block interposes your path. Looking around, you see no obvious exits. You sit down and see if you might be able to hammer out a solution, but none arrives. It'll be a long night. Yeah.
Your genitals are mutilated.
Looking at the dripping mess between your legs.
That's all the time we have, folks.
Tip your waitstaff. Dripping mess. Good heavens. Yeah, it's a dungeon.
Spencer, I'm being attacked by procrastination specifically. I'm a writer. I'm on an adventure. I'm being attacked by the procrastination monster.
Sitting at your desk, you come across a flash of insight. But then, a tweet.
All right. That was it, yeah. He's Cal Ripken.
Yeah.
I guess.
He really is.
The Sixler.
Sixler is an element.
Yeah, the guys keep saying Sixer. You're
not
gonna,
like
you're
a
gonna,
76er.
Some guy in Germany is going to be getting all these tweets. We love you. And he's
as
gonna...
in one who sixels.
Yeah. What is the significance of Sixler? What
okay. It's time, you guys.
We're going to... All right. Let's reveal Spencer's conjoined twin, the Fiveler.
Open your mind. The funny thing is there is a Fiveler, but the Sevenler doesn't exist. Anyway, we were playing a game that was kind of like D&D, like a freeform RPG that my friend ran, and he was trying to be interesting and offbeat, so for character creation, he drew what was kind of like one of those speaking... I don't know what they're called. I don't know. It was a circle with fucking drawings on it. And
speaking spell?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, but that's
CNC?
Not what it is. It was
a
the
CNC.
Thing, like a farm animal noise machine.
CNC, right?
Yeah, okay, CNC. So it was like
the cow goes moo.
Yeah, that's the one. But it had objects, like it had a baseball and a head of lettuce and a colander and Master Chief from Halo. And so the idea was you pick two elements and then he forms your character. So I picked a bagel and a burglar, and I became the bagler, and I didn't like that. So I chose a six and a bagel, and I became the Sixler. And we played the game, and my friend was the colander. And it was a good game. Like, instead of rolling dice to hit, we'd have to throw paper balls through, like, his move outstretched arms, like a circle. And so it was actually kind of interesting. But anyway, the Sixler was just a pretty cool dude, and, like, a volcano exploded, but he was fine. Like, he was right next to it and was just like, I'm a cool dude. And the lava, like, didn't affect him. And that just kept going on. Like, I'd step into traps, and the trap wouldn't affect me because I was a cool dude. And it wasn't my game. Like, this was someone else's choice, too. I could have died. But yeah, so, and then I thought the Sixler sounds cool. Like, it's got an X. It's got the X, like, sound. It's got, like, L sounds, R sounds, S sounds, all your good sounds. And it's original enough to be an online handle. It's not the Sixler 42 or the Sixler Heart, you know, 1437. But it was just the Sixler. So it anytime I sign up for an internet, I don't need, you know, numbers after it. So I just kind of stuck.
All right. Yeah, that's practical and practical and sentimental. And all right. What do you think? Is it time to shift into the? this guy said, "Oh God, yes."
Are you saying we should play D&D right now? Aaron McGathy to the stage. Aaron McGathy.
And it, wherever you want to make yourself at home. You won't be first person to yeah, just wherever you want to be.
Did you throw a die up on stage?
So, I threw a die.
All right.
So, yeah, people are throwing
new panties.
Yeah, people are throwing a multi-sided die at he's the Tom Jones of D&D.
Well, a pair of panties is less of a threat than like hard round objects like
you could choke on those.
Yeah. And even if you don't, it's just like there's a fine line between a die and just a rock.
How many people out there in this audience of about, I would say, 300, how many of you have ever played D&D? Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
all the people that got here first. All those who lined up.
Yeah.
All right, Spencer has dispensed the character sheets.
We should do a D&D has also become a chance to do a relationship check-in with Aaron. For those of you who listen to the Pittsburgh show.
Boy.
It was a doozy.
Dan, I got two more emails in the last 30 minutes.
From the same person?
No, from different people regarding the show. Three very different opinions about the whole
Well,
thing.
I did want to say to the person that wrote Aaron an email, the subject line, dial it back, where they gave her a bunch of notes along the lines of, you should, whatever, fuck you. Like
wait.
It was fair.
Only I get to suggest that Aaron needs to be somehow psychologically broken. She's the greatest hero on the face of the earth for ever even coming near me with her vagina. Let alone
That's
her
very
mind
nice, you
and
guys.
Her soul.
I'm gonna take that all the way to my heart bank.
It took that, you reading that email to me, where someone was kind of on my side in quotes, for me to go, fuck her, fuck me, fuck everyone. Like you're the best. You endure a lot, and I'm so sorry.
Do we talk about those emails, or do we not want to rub? Not want to engage that person.
You could read it. It's pretty interesting.
I could read it.
Seems like a dangerous path
I
to
have
walk
three.
Down.
I do.
That
I
is true.
Like
you're not supposed, like when a serial killer writes to the New York Times and you're like, read this or I'll kill again. It's like, well, wait a minute.
I don't think that, just to clarify, I don't think that this email is unreasonable.
No, it's possible to be on this person's side, but don't write a fucking email to a stranger and tell them their business. That's
why does a stranger is writing you emails? Like, it's how do they get your email address?
It's my podcast email.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So I have several emails. This one's about the Rhode Island show. Goodness. All right. Hey, everybody. Sit back, relax. We're going to read a negative email. Hi, Aaron McGathy. Yes, I know I don't actually know you, but I am feeling compelled to write you after listening to Harmontown in Rhode Island because it sounds like you are about to self-destruct. You have to dial it back with the needing constant affirmation of Dan's unflinching love for you. You will drive him crazy, and this will totally undermine your relationship. Asking about his dirty comments to the ladies at the previous show, I'm not sure what she's referring to, and then asking the audience if you should feel bad about if Jeff asking Dan, if this is a nice email, I'd correct her typos, but I'm just gonna read it as is. If you should feel bad about if Jeff asking Dan about fetishes is a reflection of his lack of respect for your relationship, sounds really ugly and petty and unnecessary on your part. I am almost the same age as Dan and got that Dan was just joking and being dirty because he has a dirty mind and that shit's funny. I agree.
I deserve him more than you. Ooh. I deserve him. Sitting in a room full of cats, got dumped by a writer.
All right.
I got dumped by a writer, taking it out on Dan's girlfriend.
Also, Jeff bring up fetishes is just good comm trolling because it's a titillating and taboo subject and therefore intriguing. I agree. Besides, he didn't exclude the possibility. He didn't exclude the possibility that maybe you and Dan are working out new fetishes together. Do not take anything they say or do on stage personally. It's just for the funny and to make people think and possibly some sort of therapy for Dan. He sounds like he's feeling good on stage. I think this may have been written by a zebra. I started listening to your podcast in Harmontown at the same time last year, and I am definitely a fan. So I guess I'm just rooting for you and Dan to continue through life together. That's nice. I really think you just don't need to worry so much about his feelings for you. He sounds way into you and that he would be straight up if something was a problem. So just relax and have fun. Brains could go crazy about minutia that isn't really important in the bigger picture, and it is a waste of time to dwell on it.
Signed, the Relaxation Master.
or signed, Adam Schmoldberg.
Anonymous
email.
Fascinating phenomenon where it's like you go, okay, none of that I disagree with, whatever. Yeah, that's exactly all the shit I would say to Aaron, like, hey, relax, it's just a show, blah, 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 don't self-destruct. But yeah. Fuck you, lady, fuck you. Like, it's a full-time job being my girlfriend. It's a horrible, horrible, did you see Backdraft? It's worse than that. It's so much worse. Like,
but the
fire is a
better.
Living thing. It's
I won't read it. I'll just paraphrase it. I did get another email which hit home. I got another email that said that from somebody who heard the Pittsburgh show. I got another email about the Pittsburgh show in which I expressed some insecurity. But as Dan and I discussed earlier today, Dan and I had this really big fight. And
no.
In a world.
Dan and I had a really big fight. Dan talked about it on stage. And as I was sitting backstage, I was thinking about the fight. And I was feeling very sad. Went on stage. And Dan said, hey, like, was I dishonest about anything? Like, you know, you've been backstage. You haven't had a chance to say your side of the story. Dan hadn't said anything dishonest. But I felt like just hearing him talk about it again made me feel upset. But instead of saying, yeah, that fight made me feel upset, I latched onto something that was more shallow, this bit about masturbating to a 17-year-old volleyball player. And so I got an email saying, hey, like, Harmontown's for fun, and this feels terrible as for sadness. So... Which I was like, oh, I think my podcast is fun sometimes. It's sad fun. It's a lot of sad. It's a fun sad. Right? We laugh through our tears. Right. But they were worried that, and this was Dan's worry, they were worried that because I had said it hurt my feelings that you talked about this, that Dan would stop talking about things like that or he would censor himself. And I want to say to that person and every listener, that no, he can talk about whatever he likes, and that's why I'm crazy in love with him, and I'm going to have all of his little weird babies. And duly noted.
But he talked about something, and it made you cry. You came out on stage and said you were crying backstage.
Which is fine.
It's not fine for someone to cry.
I mean, her coming out crying is fine. Let's talk about.
Did someone say she's going to pay for it?
No. They're just ordering wings. Oh. They're here with their mom, and they're ordering wings.
Side note, Dan and I were just in London, and I fainted 2 times on the Jack the Ripper tour. So when I hear something like, she's going to pay for it, I'm like, holy fuck, I got to stay out of the streets. So Dan can say whatever he wants. Here are some things. We've been on the road, totally great. And wonderful, and it's been a lot of fun. But like, there are some like unseen stresses.
She fell down, you guys. She fell down the stairs. No, I thought that joke was obvious. That it was like you were, because you're on my side now, and you're going, everybody, Dan's great. We're having a great time. I'm an abusive boyfriend. I'm a terrible person. I'm a bad person.
You're not an abusive boyfriend.
Thank you. You psychologically fell.
I don't want to continue.
Onto the doorknob of Dan Harmon.
The Pittsburgh show. Yeah.
I don't want to blame things on my hormones endlessly because I don't want to fuck things up for my sisters. But
if I did, it would go a little something. I like this.
Like the period rap.
Oh, shit. Hold on. Period rap. Keep it going while I find the file. Period rap. I gotta find it. Keep it. I can't. Where the fuck is it? Period rap. Period. I'm
hitting it first.
Oh. Ladies, I'm sorry, but I've been emotional, had my period, and it wasn't casual. I felt really bad, and my stomach felt deep, like I had someone stomping on my stomach. You know what I mean? It feels terrible. Sorry, this feels terrible. A podcast that you can get on iTunes. I'm the host of that. Please listen to that. Anyway, baby, I'm sorry. Sorry about being emotional. Hormones go up and down. They're not casual. Repeated rhyme, repeated rhyme.
Well, now that you're sorry, it forces me to beat on me worse than you have ever beat on me, because I have to be self-loathing, so that you figured out how to get the upper hand with me all the time, which is by taking the low road. So congratulations, and welcome to owning me forever. I love you. Please don't dump me. Breakdown.
Period rap.
Period. 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 Wicca, 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 wicca. Once a month. What? 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 What?
3 to 5 cleaning days.
Cleaning out.
3 to 5 days.
Clean it out.
3 to 5 days.
Make some space.
Is it over?
Aww.
Period.
Anne Frank. I wanted to... It was such a mainstream rap, I wanted to add a tinge of indie. Just threw in a random thing, make it more of a Lena Dunham-y kind of...
Fun fact, Anne Frank died before she could have a period.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't know what being in love is, but your guy's version of being in love is fucking complex.
I think it looks a lot like...
I don't
like,
think so. I think,
no,
I,
it is.
I think it's when two people love each other and themselves so much that they don't care about the entertainment of the whole world.
I would like to conclude this bit and then to enter into Dungeons & Dragons. I would like to read the final email that I got. It's very short.
This is going to be the one that says, fuck Dan, and you're going to lose everybody.
This is from a nice gentleman named Rob. Hi, Aaron. I just wanted to let you know that the podcast of Harmontown from Pittsburgh brought me to tears. Not because you and Dan fought, but because I recently got divorced, and part of the reason we didn't stick together is that we never talked about how we really felt with each other like you and Dan are able to do. I know you feel insecure about your relationship with him, but I think you have a huge advantage in that you were able to express yourselves and let each other know how you feel. If you can do that, I'm sure that love will carry you the rest of the way. Rob.
Aww. Unsolicited email advice.
But the kind you like. It's the kind you like because it enables...
Unsolicited.
It enables you.
I'll complain about everything else but this.
Be...
Just tell me I'm pretty and I look, then today I'll be fine.
Spencer, we're being attacked by menstruation.
Looking at the calendar with a start, you realize it's her time. Tiptoeing past the door, you think you can make it down the stairs. But then you hear the shattering sound of porcelain on drywall. That's it.
I know that the next round of emails is going to be subject headings like, just let Spencer talk and stop, get Dan and Aaron off the stage. Yawn about the relationships.
Yeah. Send your emails to emagathy@gmail.com. Is that right?
Yeah.
All right, Spencer, if you will, at long fucking last, take us up to date for the D&D campaign.
After meeting up with a group of fish-dwelling humans and stopping by their small village, the group headed to the store to pick up some potions and some paralyzing injectors, as well as a length of rope. They set off down an esophageal tube to fish south, where the fabled Kenny either died or never existed in a lake of acid. Crossing the lake on Tenzer's floating disc and entering a dangerously speedy sphincter, the group found themselves on a narrow ledge with a small campsite. There they met, I can't remember his name, I'm going to call him Thomas, the prince of some fiefdom or other I can't remember.
Valicent.
Valicent, yeah, okay.
Wait, are you making this up?
No, it's just I didn't write down names. I never do names.
This is hardly the stage, Spencer.
I wrote it down.
To be improvising.
Spencer, Dan mocked me in Bloomington, but I wrote down it's Valicent was his name.
Awesome. Oh, okay. My God. Jeff, even that's a mess up on my note behalf. So, Valicent, the prince of the fiefdom.
You gave yourself a jazz sting.
It's hard. It's an iPad mini, and my fingers are huge.
How do you have time to take all those notes between creating all those anonymous email accounts?
I will never reveal my secrets, Mr. Harmon. Hey, Dan, dial it back, would you?
I would love to.
After being lured by talk of swords, Valicent returned with the heroes to the small Innerfish village. They were off to free themselves from the confines of the Infinifish. So you guys are in that village again. Remember, you kind of went in a big circle after finding Valicent.
Okay, here's the deal. I just want to say something as a player at the table.
All right.
We are at the point in the tour. We're past the meeting of the goddess. That much is probably clear. It's time to atone with the father. That means accepting your own death. There's no better way to accept your own death than to give way to the, you know, like the Father Kronos and the baby New Year and the, you know, the, like the snake sheds its skin. I want the part of Sharpie Butzalot to be played for this segment in Chicago by Ben. Yeah! My 16-year-old self.
15-and-a-half-year-old Ben, please come to the stage.
Your Sharpie Butzalot. For the,
Big fan.
I've been stuck in this fish for 3 episodes. You're 16, 15, maybe you can figure it out. You've just started mutilating yourself, and here you go. Here's the microphone.
Thank you. So are we in a fish?
Yeah. Have you ever played before?
No.
Okay. So basically, you pretend what I'm saying is true, and you act accordingly.
Just like church.
Yeah, cool. Just like church. This is great.
Dan, he's funnier than you.
Yeah, but my trick is, since I framed it with, like, he's me, doesn't matter.
Yeah, this is all...
I've become Bud Friedman.
Dan, I don't want to get super gross, but...
It would go a little something.
Ben looks identical to my first boyfriend, Eric Eldard, who showed me his penis in the shower. Identical. Full circle. Relax. Let a woman show you how to do things. I'm just kidding. How do we get these stripes off the sweater? I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. Please stop me, or I'll continue to be gross.
Wow.
Well, no, like, I don't go to jail yet, so it's like, you know, I mean, I'm not. It's your fault. Are we playing D&D?
We are.
Okay.
That won't stop me teaching you things, though.
Okay.
Something terrible is about to happen. All right, so Spencer, we got Prince Valicent, what's his name?
Valicent, yes.
And so he has the sword knowledge. He has the far sword capabilities.
The power of the far sword.
I say it's probably the right idea to go destroy this animal from the inside, and let's march towards the heart of this beast.
Absolutely, all right. Positively.
All right.
Thank you, Ben.
You're welcome.
I mean Sharpie.
Sharpie.
Thank
Sharpie.
You, sir.
Thank you, Sharpie.
Yes.
Valicent grumbles. I don't know about killing this thing, but you do have to do some damage if you're going to want to escape. Let's head fish west.
Fish west?
I head fish west.
You guys head fish west. At the far wall of a village, you're met with what appears to be a largish meat curtain. This is your education.
These things will happen. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just a meat curtain.
It's a curtain of meat.
It's a curtain of meat.
All right.
Don't think about it.
It is part of a sentient being.
Okay. Because we're in fish.
Yeah.
But they're not actually.
I'm almost certain we're breaking some sort of law, right?
Yeah. No.
I understood that part. Like,
I'm not bashful, but I think this is illegal. Wait, haven't we already? For the lack of a better word, penetrated this meat curtain before?
This is actually a different meat curtain.
It's a new meat curtain.
All right. I approach the meat curtain boldly because I'm no stranger to the meat curtain, and I boldly press myself through it.
We all press ourselves boldly through the meat curtain.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it together.
As a team, you stride through the folds of the meat curtain. Behind the curtain is a passage. It's relatively narrow, but still quite wide considering it's inside of a living creature.
From far off, you can hear the thumping of hearts and the sloshing of blood being pumped through great veins and arteries.
It's just like mine.
Mm-hmm. I'd know, apparently. The floor is slick and squishy, and you find it quite difficult to stand up straight, let alone move. You can see circular holes in the ground full of bubbling green acid. Through the passage is a larger curtain of meat.
Jesus,
so we have to cross a floor that's slick and it's got holes in it and acid is bubbling through it?
Yeah, so it's full of acid holes.
So, Spencer, we need to go across this this acid hole area, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Can I take my rope and tie it to an arrow and shoot it across the...
Yeah, like in the ceiling and then swing across like Star Wars?
Oh, okay. So do you want to attempt that?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Nope.
Spencer. Spencer, sorry.
In the game of Dungeons & Dragons, you can take a 10 or a 20. A 10 is when you have a short amount of time devoted to a task. Like if you're tying your shoes and you had 20 minutes, you could take a 10. You know, that'll give you a decent success rate. If it's not very difficult, you'll automatically pass. If you have plenty of time, like an hour or two, you can take a 20. That means you automatically, you know, as if you rolled a 20. But you require a long period of time, and it can't be a task that you can fail at. For instance, falling and slipping in a pile of acid. Okay. I applaud your efforts, sir.
So, is this a time to take a 20? So if I take a 20, what's the consequence?
In this case, I'm going to rule you can't take a 20 because the stakes are life and death. You don't have time to mess up and fix it.
Wait.
I have a question.
Go for it.
Hypothetically, I have like a Ray of Frost thing. Mm-hmm. Because I listen to the podcast, so can I try to cast a spell and build a bridge across the lava or whatever?
All right, you can attempt it. Ray of Frost is a rather weak spell. At the best, you can manage a meager bridge.
I'm not literate, so...
That's
fine. There's tiny writing. Where are my skills?
Your skills or your spells?
Dan, go help him. Stand. Mentor him.
Do something, Dan.
Okay.
Be a father to your child.
I'm so sorry. It's like adaptation. It's circular.
I think... Dan, are you actually afraid of Ben a little bit?
Okay.
So there's...
All right. So here are your spells and your special abilities.
The spells are on a different page.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's that back page is all your spells, man. I'm helping. What is...
So Aaron...
No. You can't...
He really is Dan.
Here's a problem with the bit. You can't yes and it.
Yeah, okay. There's no yes and. Okay.
So, all right. I've never looked at Sharpie's.
Yeah, you don't have
before.
Spells.
No, I don't have spells.
Is there a way for me to make a bridge?
There is no way for you to make a bridge.
Okay, so there we go.
Spencer, I'm a +9 for jump.
Yep.
Can I jump? I try to jump across this expanse.
Okay. The thing's 30 feet long. Like you can jump over individual puddles, definitely, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'll say you can jump about 30% of the way.
I jump to the first part, to the first lily pad of whatever that is.
You jump successfully.
Well, all right.
Yay! Okay, I have one more question.
Never had a lesson.
My future self from the future appeared to me and suggested I use Tenzer's floating disc. Is it possible for me to like put that ahead of
Quark,
so that when he next jumps, he can land on it and then like somehow move it again, so that we sort of hopscotch him across?
Yeah, if I were to advise that strategy, I'd put it right over one of those holes of acid, so like he could just like step lightly upon it.
So I cast Tenzer's floating disc,
waving your hands in a magical manner. A shimmering disc appears.
Okay.
Ben, today you are a man.
Thank you.
This is your har mitzvah. Trademark.
Yeah. Trademark.
The quark. That's your name.
Yes.
Quark. You see a Tenzer's floating disc.
I jump upon it.
You jump upon it. You are upon a tensor's floating disc above a pile of acid.
Can I jump to the next place?
You are struck by a tentacle that whips out of a wall with a flash. Shit.
Whoa.
It grabs you by the ankle.
I take an arrow.
You take an arrow.
I shoot the arrow at the tentacle. He won't appreciate it, but I'll do it.
Critical hit.
Yay!
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, because you shot one arrow.
Is that...
Your arrow slices through the air, cleaving the tentacle in twain. Quark is released, falling onto the tensor's floating disc.
Okay, I cast the thing again so he lands on it. Can I
do that? It's already there. It's still there.
Cool. It just follows him.
All right, so what's in front of me? Can I jump to the end of the expanse?
You can jump most of the way.
Sounds like a bad idea.
Wait. Is there a way for me to simultaneously move the thing forward as he jumps so they're both in air at the same time so he lands on it as he lands and then can then jump and finish?
You can move it with him on it without jumping.
Let's just do that.
Yeah. Sharpie, you move it. I don't have to jump so much.
Okay. All right.
How about this? You move it, I'll jump. So I'll wait until half of the movement and I'll jump the rest of the way.
You time it so that... Can I just move it forward?
Right. Also, yeah. I have arrows.
Yes.
Say what?
That's
yeah. He could just move. You could just move me all the way across,
with
right?
With arrows.
Yeah. Right. Hey Ben, your dad's cool, right?
Just do it.
All right. Yay. Okay. Cool.
Quark is across the passage.
No, I'm across the passage.
You see a large curtain of meat.
Thank you, sir.
But what about you guys?
What just happened? Oh.
Fuck them.
Can we wait? Can I? Huh? Can we just, like, ferry us back and forth with the floating disc?
Yep.
I like it.
I harness all of my training at Frisbee Golf, and I send the floating disc.
Yay. College.
Back towards Sharpie and Mulrain. You take five, hotshot.
That happens.
Okay. So they have the disc now?
Yeah.
All right.
All right, we're floating across.
Yep.
Yay.
So, but they have to get on it.
I think Mulrain's still reduced, by the way. Like, you're short right now.
Okay.
Is that,
so then
that's,
we both
that's,
fit.
That's cool, right?
Yeah,
I'm
it's
cute.
Fine.
I'm a little pocket. Can you put me in your pocket?
Not that small.
Yes.
Calm down.
No, wait.
Oh.
You're quark-sized.
But in any case, we're both small people because I'm young Dan Harmon now. Young Sharpie Butts a lot now. So
I don't know what game you're playing, but the time continuity marches on.
You're Sharpie Butts a lot.
I jump on Sharpie's back.
Okay. We go across.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That happens.
Yay.
Are they across? Are we all
They're
together
across.
Now? All right, so what are we looking at now?
A meat curtain.
A meat curtain. Another meat curtain?
Yep.
I lube myself up, and I gently insert myself inside the meat curtain.
Easing yourself in. What word?
Cleave.
Cleave, okay.
I cleave the meat curtain.
Easing yourself through the meat curtain, you find yourself in a circular green room. Three bluish holes mark the wall ahead of you, left, right, and center.
Are we all together?
No, it's just you right now. Standing in the middle of the room is a strange tendril of flesh sprouting out of the ground, on the end of which is a large eye with a multicolored iris. The eye sways back and forth ponderously. That's not an anatomy.
So I'm in a room right now, inside the meat curtain chamber, three bluish holes.
Yep.
Left, right, and center.
Yep.
There's a giant tendril with a multicolored iris eye swaying ponderously in front of me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, ponderously.
Does it look like a foe?
It might very well be.
Well, I think I invite the rest of the gang, and I yell through the meat curtain, come on in, the water's great.
We sleekly slide through the meat curtain.
Slickly, you slide. You too see the same thing that I mentioned earlier.
Do we try to communicate with it?
Yeah.
You have powers of charisma.
I'm
like weirdly good at like this is like I understand.
I use diplomacy on the eyeball.
Yeah.
You don't speak the same language.
Fuck.
Oh.
I should say it does not speak any language.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Oh, so I use wild empathy?
Yeah.
I do that.
You can't get a read on it. Normally, you tend to use body language to determine how an animal's feeling, but this is a giant eyeball on a staff or a, you know, a stalk.
Sharpie, use one of your skills.
Wait, I can't make it sleep because do we need to extrapolate information from it or something?
It shoots a blue beam, striking Mulrain directly in the chest.
No!
You only take one damage. Calm down.
All right, sorry. Let me redo that sound effect.
Sleep.
Sleep?
Yeah, sleep eyeball.
He's entitled to a will save. He passes.
Oh.
He shrugs off the sleep.
All right, I'm gonna have to do this, and I try not to try not to fly off in a rage, but I go into a berserker rage and.
You hear the voice of Valisit in your ears. Yes, use the rage. Harness the rage.
Flaming sword!
You strike directly on the eyelid. With a reflex, it manages to shut its eye, so you haven't damaged its eye. However, you do deal 11 damage.
11 damage?
Yay! Woo!
Hey, Sharpie, really quick, while we're alone. Are we cool?
We're cool. Okay.
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 I'll buy you a bouquet of giant fish monster flowers.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds like you really understand women.
I do. Look at the sweater. Look at the sweater. Is he still hitting the eye with the sword?
He's completed his strike.
It's your turn, Sharpie. Sharpie.
Okay. Scorching. All right. Thank you. My Obi-Wan conscious appears to me once again in a ghostly haze. They're out of my vision. It's not the voices again. It's the ghostly conscious. Burning ray.
Scorching ray. Casting your arms in a magical manner. Several bursts of fire streak forth. They strike it directly in the stalk. It's engulfed in flames for a brief moment. Before taking 5 damage.
Five damage. So it's got 16 hits right now.
Yep.
All right. Mulrain.
Yeah.
Nope.
Oh, shit.
The eye sways ponderously, and its iris changes to green.
Green.
Quark. Even though you're in the throes of a barbarian rage, you can't help but stare longingly at the eye.
Uh-oh.
You find yourself compelled to attack your friends.
No.
I already rolled the will save. He got a 4.
Is he attacking us now?
Is there anything I can do in my defense?
You can attack the your friends.
I don't attack my friends.
All right. Well, you kind of have to.
I have to attack my friends?
You're being compelled by the magical eye to attack your friends. It seems like a good plan.
I cast sleep. Can I make him sleep?
You cast a spell. It would be him, Mulrain, and then you again.
What?
So it's Quark's turn, then Mulrain, then you can cast a spell.
Oh, wait, I don't want to attack my friends, right?
Well, that's the great thing about being charmed and compelled by otherworldly forces. You could do things you don't want to.
I throw a portable hole in front of me and fall into it, so I miss my attack.
Yay.
No?
Okay. Roll dice. You fall into a portable hole. Two people just intercepted my air high five. We're cool, Jeff.
All right, cool.
Mulrain. Go.
I shoot an arrow. that I still like looking around, right?
Yeah.
Can I use wild empathy? No, I already did that. I'll shoot. Gosh, I'm sorry, guys. I shoot 2 arrows at the eye, one at the eyelid and one at the eyeball. And as I'm shooting, I slow motion say, adventure!
Both of your arrows hit their mark.
Okay.
Dealing 13 damage to the eye.
All right.
Then I can I summon monster.
Okay, which monster would you like to summon?
Thank you. Summon monster too.
I think last time you had a fiendish squid and a celestial bee. So, either one.
What fiendish? All right.
If you give me a second, I'll look up other things you can summon.
Wait, does the squid, does it like then die in front of me?
Yeah.
Tragic. Well, that's mean. That's.
They love it.
Common morality's in flux.
Badger!
Oh, is there a badger?
Badger! Like an otter.
I'm waiting. Is there an otter, or like a cuddly, furry animal?
I'm gonna say yes.
I'm gonna say, okay. So I well, no, it makes sense because, you know, the animals never die. They never, you never kill the dog. So that's, in most media works, but you know, it's, they don't. Yeah, okay, do I have that?
Do you have what?
A mannequin leg.
Nope.
Then, what? Okay, all right, well then I summon badger.
Okay, you summon a dire badger.
Dan, what is this?
Standing before you, the devire badger waits for its orders.
Could take care of him.
Okay. The badger adorably hits the eye with its finger, tail, claw, bite.
It attempts to claw the eye, but fails.
All that. Spencer, what does my power bracelet do?
It gives you +2 to strength.
I see. What is hat of disguise?
It lets you disguise yourself as another humanoid.
That's not gonna work.
You feel compelled to attack your teammates.
Again? Why do I keep doing that?
Because you're still compelled.
Oh. I don't.
You, seeing as how you're stuck in a pit, that works.
Okay, good.
Cliffhanger? Cliffhanger?
That would put it at the Ice Stock's turn. Oh, wrong dice.
On him? Okay.
Its eyeball turns red and it stares directly at Sharpie. It shoots a red gaze at you, but you shrug it off. whose turn is it?
Sharpies?
Sharpies, yeah. Sharpies. Sorry, guys.
Oh, okay. So I charm the
Quark.
Quark.
Yep.
Yep.
All right. Quark can willingly fail his will save to be afflicted by your charm spell, so he's back on your side.
Yay.
Although still in a portable hole.
All right, I shoot two sleep arrows.
Two sleep arrows.
At the eye.
Both of the sleep arrows impact the creature.
All right.
You feel its eyes grow heavy, and it falls to the ground. It's asleep.
It's asleep, guys. It's asleep.
Yay. I have a question. Is she still reduced through all of this?
Yep.
Okay, cool. I was just being bothered by that.
Power attack!
You're in a hole.
Huh?
You're in a hole.
I get out of the hole.
Wait,
ask
how does he
someone to get you out of the hole.
Hey, Sharpie, a little help? Get me out of
this
hole.
Wait.
Just reach down and pull me out of the hole.
Yeah.
Whoosh. I reach down and pull him out of the hole.
Use the rope. Oh, I have a rope.
You pull him out of the hole.
All right.
Well.
Yay.
I take my sword, my great sword, and go into a power attack.
All right. Automatically confirm critical hit.
Whoa!
Ah!
You deal 28 damage, severing the eye.
Yeah!
Excellent.
There can be only one.
You're... smell Sharpie's hair and smile.
It smells kind of like fish guts.
So did we kill the eye stalk?
You killed the eye stalk.
All right. Yay.
Do you want to pick, like, there's three paths if you want to, like, pick or Valisence around also.
Is now a good time for a cliffhanger? Yeah.
Cliffhanger!
Spencer, everybody!
Let's have a hand for young Dan Harmon. Ben?
Whoa, Ben Harmon. Bam-a-lam. Whoa, young
Thank
Harmon.
Thank you, sir.
Aaron McGathy, everybody. Aaron McGathy.
Thank you, Ben. What a good sport. Ben, always respect women and don't drink too much and write drafts quickly. Like just get through a bad one first, and you can always rewrite it later. Just trying to think of everything I do wrong.
Say what?
It's a man who is requesting chicken noodle man. Or chicken, it's chicken noodle dick, right?
Here I am.
Ain't got a dick, I got a chicken noodle can. All my life, I've been pushing my can inside my chicken noodle wife. Chicken noodle man come down from the mountain saying, chicken noodle man, he gotta work all day. Chicken noodle man, he gotta cross the River Jordan. Feed the devil soup until your troubles go away. Soup to the bowl, bowl to the spoon. Spoon to the mouth, you're gonna get well soon. You gotta get some bed rest sleep until noon. Drink a cup of coffee, then head to the saloon saying, chicken noodle guy come down from the mountain saying, chicken noodle man, you gotta work all day. Chicken noodle man, you gotta cross the River Jordan. Feed the devil soup until your troubles go away. Well, the wind blows south and come what may, my chicken noodle wife let me dress the other day. There's not much else I can do but pray. My chicken noodle man, you gotta work all day. Chicken noodle guy come down from the mountain saying, chicken noodle man, you gotta work all day. Chicken noodle man, you gotta cross the River Jordan. Feed the devil soup until your troubles go away.
Good request, sir.
Pringles dick. Some people call me Pringles dick, but I never really found out why.
I don't really have a Pringles dick. I just keep my dick inside.
Bow, bow,
bow. I keep my dick inside a Pringles can because it keeps my penis safe and dry. Some people call me Pringles dick, but I never really found out. No, I never found out. I never really found out why.
We're becoming Van Halen, minus the...
Play the hits!
minus the body of work.
Panama!
Boom, boom. Put my dick in
Panama.
A butt, Panama! all right. What lessons have we learned? What are you crying? Where are you crying out? Ragnarok? What?
He wants a mama rap.
Oh, a mama rap. I mean, I don't know if you guys are all caught up on the podcast history. I'm getting worse and worse at rapping, partly because you know, like my Uno cards of rhyming, like mouth and south. We know that balls, Niagara Falls. Maybe that means you guys can help me out. Maybe that's the. There's a really good chance if I say mouth, I'm probably going to say
well,
south.
Well, then don't say mouth.
And vice versa.
Don't say mouth.
But if I think twice about anything, then it's all fucked. Like that's.
Is anybody
problem.
Here an actual rapper? Is
there anybody in freestyle? We're in
right
Chicago.
This guy's hand shot up. He's got blonde Eminem
he's got
hair.
A little bit of an early Eminem look. All right. Let's.
I'm totally.
Is this on?
Yeah. What's your name?
Is it on? There you go.
Sweet.
I'm totally bluffing, by the way.
Well, I mean, do you want to give it a shot, though?
Yeah, I do.
Give me some free. Do you ever freestyle, or are you just bullshitting?
Sometimes.
You know, like when I'm alone. Have you done it successfully? They will turn on you like a fucking pit of vipers.
Good. I don't care.
Like they support people who come up earnestly. And
look,
like,
I'm a rapper who just bluffed his way on stage. I love haters.
Okay, well,
yeah.
Show me.
Boo me.
Okay, you guys know the refrain to this. Come on down to
Harmontown. Turn that frown upside down. Pee is yellow, poop is brown. Come on down to Harmontown.
Yo, Boomy, cause I fucked your mom. I'm gonna fuck her real hard. And then I'm gonna go to the store. Buy some apples to put on her face. She's gonna be a huge disgrace. Better fuck her like she was a dog, and then I'll be a hog. She'll call me a pig, cause I'm sexist, but I don't even care. You boo me, but I'm not even scared of your hate. Cause it's not my fate to be brought down by you. I'm gonna hit you in my face with my fucking shoe.
And come on down to Harmontown. You can bring it back. Turn the frown upside down.
Might be a hero.
He's yellow, poop is brown.
Race.
Come on down to Harmontown.
On stage and doing a rap. And it's kind of a piece of crap, but that's fine, I don't care, I'm okay with it, guy. And then, look at me, I'm fly, like Superman, in the sky real high, but I don't have a cape, cause it's, why don't I have a cape? I don't know, I should get a cape. They're pretty cool.
No.
Thank you, though. What was your name? Alex, all right, Alex.
I'm Alex by my CD.
Thank you, Alex.
He's not necessarily a villain.
We have a gentleman, right? Thank Alex, everybody. All right. Contestant number one.
Thank you, brother.
Is this because of the gong show or evening at the Apollo? Are you raising your hand? I thought you were like, you're ordering a drink or? Okay.
Is there anybody else think they can outdo?
For real.
But for real. You can.
All right, we got. Okay, we got a hand in the back. I want to discover a fucking.
You want to find a new talent.
A hero, yeah.
All right. Yeah. What is your name?
Mason.
All right. Mason, everybody.
All right. It's a pleasure. This has become an MTV pilot. What we're doing.
Hello.
All right. Let's give him a chorus. Come on down.
Harmontown, turn that frown upside down.
Talent.
His yellow poop is brown. Come on down to Harmontown.
I haven't fucked mom since 1968. I don't know why, but that was pretty great. I got on the stage at Harmontown by my friends. I don't really have friends, but balls.
All right.
Okay. I try to tweet, but I don't think I'm that good. I got a favor from Dan Harmon, so maybe I should continue to do my thing. Maybe not. I think Spencer's on the stage. What's up, dude? I like your beard.
All right, get the next one up here. Get it. Let's make the rotation faster.
Thank you, Mason. Mason.
That's it.
You're not a bad person. You're not a bad person.
Who's up next? Who's up next?
We're just gonna go faster. I wanna, okay. All right, no. I'm sorry, follow my finger. Look what we got. Yeah, I'm pointing at you. You better believe it.
Oh, shit.
I don't wanna be racist or anything, but of course I'm pointing at you. What's your name?
Ahmad.
What's that?
Ahmad.
Ahmad, yeah. Fucking awesome.
All right.
Come on down to Harmontown.
Turn that frown upside down.
Ringer.
His yellow poop is brown. Come on down to Harmontown.
I need some words. Straight birds. Fucking them birds. What you know? Fuck what you heard. Lee Daniels getting turned. Yeah. Fucking them turds. Oh shit, the fucking turds.
Eating birds and fucking turds. I need some words when I fuck turds like they were birds. I want to get some wings gonna fly in the sky. I need some turds to eat, but some poop gets in my eye. It goes into my eyeball and down my throat. Fucked your mama in a castle and her pussy was the moat. Come on down to Harmontown.
Words. Turn that frown upside down.
Race.
Poop is brown.
Black.
Come on down to Harmontown.
Yo, bud. Yo. Go. Go.
What?
Go.
Yo.
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 I fucked his mama. She was Obama. Then I said, oh, shit, that's his mama. Damn. Then she said, drama. I was over there and I said, mama. Oh.
All right. Let's keep the rotation.
Ahmad, everybody. Ahmad. Let's hear from Ahmad.
Ahmad. Who's the contender? Who's the contender?
Thank you, brother.
God damn it.
Anybody else?
We need a fucking hero here. All right. Well, this guy's been pretty patient.
Yo, yeah. You're back there with the hat on. Oh, shit.
Come on down to Harmontown.
Nate.
What's your name, Nate?
Nate.
Down upside down.
Pee is yellow, poop is brown.
Oh boy,
come on down to Harmontown.
My mom told me not to rap on a stage right. She said, you too white, you're gonna suffer from stage fright. I said, yeah, right, bitch, I'll put you back in your place right. I got this plight and I'm not about to die tonight on this stage right. I said that twice, too many times before, but my name is Nate. I'll suck and hit you to the floor. Harmontown, turn that frown upside down. I couldn't clown for more because this dude cut me up. Shit. I'm better than all those other kids. I can't
make
you spit.
Come on down to Harmontown.
The best of the best. And you know this is it.
upside down. One more. Three. Yellow poop is brown. Turn on down to Harmontown. One more verse. Wait. All right.
One more verse.
Yeah. You're up next.
You're gonna put up with us.
All right, that didn't work out. All right.
Nate, everybody.
What's your name?
Khalil.
Khalil.
Come on down to Harmontown, Khalil. Turn that frown upside down. Khalil, his yellow poop is brown. Come on down to Harmontown.
Showed up late to motherfucking Harmontown. I don't give a fuck, but I still got down. Got up on the motherfucking stage, and I'm still wearing the motherfucking crown. I stay real. I'm from the Chi-Town, and I stay trill. If you don't know about that trill shit, I come from the South, yes, and I'm on that peel shit. I don't give a fuck, yes, I'm on that spill shit.
Come now on down to Harmontown. Khalil!
Turn that crown up.
You want to say?
Come on down to Harmontown.
Go, Dan.
Yo, I'm on stage with Khalil. I'm a rapping motherfucker. That's how I feel. I've been made legit because his face is dark. I'm like in Central Park. I feel emboldened. Feel the whiteness fading. I'm fucking your mama like my name was Kato Kalin. I'm in your guest house, motherfucker. You murdered your wife. I'm gonna fuck like Chris Tucker. And come on down
to Harmontown.
Don't know what that means.
Turn that frown upside down.
Drunk.
Please, yellow poop is brown.
Come on down to Harmontown.
Go.
When he talking that Chris Tucker, something like Rush Hour. I don't give a fuck, nigga. I got the power. Yes, I'm straight going. Room full of crackers. And I'm straight going. Yes, I got a bunch of backers. Something like a financer. Call me Kickstarter. Yes, I straight get dog. Yeah.
Harder.
Down to Harmon.
Stay. Stay.
Everybody, thank you for coming to Harmontown tonight. Thank you, Chicago. Khalil. Thank you so much, everybody here at the whatever the fuck it's called, Second City.
Take a bow, man.
Thank you, Ben. Sean and Joe up there and the sound and the lights and the stage manager. One more time, Chicago, we fucking love you to pieces.
Chicago! Thank you. I'll sign whatever you bought out there.
Dan Harmon, everybody.
Shittiest stage dive in all Chi-Town. Pee is yellow, poop is brown. Holy fuck, it is Chi-Town. Chi-Town, gonna do the stage dive. Don't wanna let Brooklyn take you alive. Got my wallet in my pocket, got my dick in my hand. Khalil made me feel good, feel like a man. I got one more black friend to put in my entourage. I wanna fuck your mama with a Thai massage. Kept the stage going with an encore. Fucked your mama five times, the bitch still wanted more.
Come on down to Harmontown.
Right.
Turn that frown upside down.
Sorry.
Tea is a yellow, poop is brown.
I'm really sorry.
Come on down to Harmontown.
Thank you all.
All right.
It's the Starburns Industries Tape of the Month Club. 12 original cassette tapes delivered to your door. Each month, you'll receive a crisp new cassette tape of auditory delights made by some of the most funky and creative artists around. Featuring Dino Stamatopoulos, Natalie Palamides, Johnny Pemberton, Dan Harmon, Future Ladies of Wrestling, Alan Resnick and Dina Kalberman, Dynasty Handbag, Jeff B. Davis, Rob Schraub, Lance Bangs, DJ Doug Pound, Kron, Open Mike Eagle, Ron Lynch, and on and on and on. and on. Subscribe now. $13 gets you a crisp, unique tape in the mail each month. For $20, you receive a portable cassette player so you can listen to your tapes on the go. Here's how to order. For credit card customers, please call 747-888-0945. That's 747-888-0945. Or save COD charges and log onto the World Wide Web at d.rip/sbi-press. It's a good deal.
Hello, I'm Kyle Ayers. I'm the host of Never Seen It, the podcast where comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen, and then we give them a read in studio. This is a clip I want to play for you guys from an episode where Langston Kerman rewrites Scarface. He's never seen it, but he wrote a script based on what he thinks he knows about it, and here's a clip. Give it a listen.
All right, Scarface, The New Frontier. Interior, happening discotheque. Remember when we called clubs discotheques? LOL, the 70s were crazy. Night. The crowd bustles with young, hot Mexicans who are supposed to be Cuban and all are dressed in butterfly collared shirts and pants that look like JNCO jeans and pleated khakis had a really weird baby. There's sex in the air and Poppy wants a whiff.
Oh my God.
Scarface, 22 to 45.
Like he's a television audience demographic.
Devilishly handsome. Not even a little bit Italian looking, so get that out of your dumb brain. Walks through the crowd with the confidence of a man who's going on MTV Cribs with the Ying Yang Twins one day. Does he actually have a scar on his face? Fuck no. Why would you even ask that? That's not important. What's important is that he is not at all a problematic stereotype and that he has come for his cocaine. As he approaches the red rope of the VIP, pronounced Ve A Pay in Spanish,
oh my gosh.
He spots his dear friend who is almost certainly going to become his enemy by the end of the film, Smooth Skin. Scarface yells out his signature line.
Ciao, Bella. It's me, Scarface.
Oh my God.